This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
I'm Sophia Heisel, and welcome to Sophia Study Space on Youth Zone with Otago Access Radio. Get your tea and pens ready as we discuss the study tips and advice to help you through your academic journey.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sophia Study Space. I hope everyone is well and have had a pretty good semester. As you guys may have remembered from my previous episode, I am in Malaysia, and I'm still in Malaysia. And so my semester since the last episode has been not really eventful, I guess, in terms of studying. I would have loved to have done this episode on how to study while traveling, except I'm not doing a very good job on that at the moment, because I think it's just been so long since I've traveled and studied at the same time. I think the last time was like 2 years ago. And so I kind of forgot how to do it. And so I've been trying to refresh my brain, but at the same time, it's just so hard because you're just so busy. And so I really have been struggling to juggle my studies and my work on top of being here in Malaysia. And so instead, what this episode is going to be about is how my experience in Malaysia has been and how it's kind of been a very eye-opening experience in terms of being able to reconnect with my roots. And so yeah, that's pretty much what I'll be discussing today. So if you guys listened to my previous episode, you know that I'm here basically for family and for Ramadan and Eid. And so Ramadan in Malaysia is very different to how I have been spending my Ramadan the past 7 or so years. And so it's been a very long time since I've been here during this very blessed time. And Ramadan culture in Malaysia is just very different from how it is in New Zealand, of course, but it is different in general as to every other culture. I think every other culture has a different way of celebrating and spending their Ramadan. But yeah, I find that Eid and Ramadan is just very unique here. In Malaysia, we have like Ramadan bazaars, we have these like nighttime markets and talks, and just the whole culture around going to the mosque every day. It's just still like the way those things play out is still very different to how it is in Dunedin and especially New Zealand. And I've been very used to the way things have been in Dunedin that I kind of forgot what it's like here in Malaysia, and it's just been so long, and so it's been very nice. And actually, in a way, it kind of ties in with my studies and just how I've been feeling overall as a person this year. I'll say that I've been pretty disconnected with being Malaysian for the past year or so. I don't know. I mean, it has nothing to do with the culture itself. It's just I didn't really know a lot of Malay people growing up. And I didn't really see it as much of a big deal. I always prioritize, like, you know, being a human being, being Muslim, being a woman first, and being Malay was kind of secondary to all of that. And so it's been very interesting, not just this trip to Malaysia, but also my previous trip to Singapore as well. It has put a different perspective of what it means to be Malay to me. Because to me, yes, I've always lived with that double lens. You know, the rose-tinted glasses and the blue ones, and how I've been from two worlds, whatever, blah, blah. I mean, that all still applies, except I've never felt so strongly about being Malay. I felt like it was always more so the fact that I'm Asian, but not specifically a Malay person, if that makes sense. And so being here in Malaysia during the time where it's very, I'll say, the most cultural for us at the moment, because even though Ramadan is very much a religious thing, the way that it is celebrated here in Malaysia is so specific to Malaysia that I don't think a lot of other cultures celebrate it the way that we do. And in fact, when I do have discussions with my other Muslim friends about what they do for Ramadan and Eid, it's just, it's very different. So that is, I guess, one thing that I've learned so far is kind of to be very appreciative of the fact that this culture in Ramadan, but also being Malay in general, the whole Malay culture is all very unique to this country, this region. And I mean, I've always thought that, but I don't think I really came to terms with thinking about it so much until now. To me, it's just like, it's important to me. It's a big part of my identity, but at the same time, it didn't really feel like that big of a deal. It was more like, this is what sets me apart from my peers, but do I actually feel connected to it? You know, that kind of question. And so, I think more recently, with this trip, plus this trip to Singapore, earlier in the year, like I said, I've had a different perspective on how, what it feels, what it means to be Malay. Because, as I previously mentioned, this past year I've been very, I've been feeling very negative about that side of my identity. Because, I guess, I hate bringing this up, but if you guys remember in the past, I had this episode where I talked about Prasad. And I know that that has nothing to do with the culture, except it kind of hindered the way I perceived my culture. And it was really bad, because I know it was no one's fault in particular. It was just that it made me feel like I did not want to be part of this particular group of people for a while. Which kind of sucks, because I know that that situation has nothing to do with the country, has nothing to do with the people who live here, like the culture of people who happen to be at that event has nothing to do with that event, you know? So yeah, I know it's bad. It's just unfortunate that my brain works that way. And so in the past year, yeah, not too great. And so I felt very disconnected. I felt like I just didn't really want to, like, in a way, even though I'll never have said it at the time, I didn't really want to associate with myself or connect with myself with being Malay for a while. Like, I would have been very happy to just throw that whole side of me away. For a while, of course. But at the same time, I can never forget that this is what makes me different. And I will never give up that part of myself. So I'll never give up the fact that I'm different, because I really appreciate that. I appreciate being of a different world, being of a different culture, different, you know, race, religion, all that. But for a moment, it was nothing to do with the fact that I didn't want to be different. It was just that that culture really let me down for a moment, and it was more the way that I perceived at the time. And so I think I was given the opportunity to go to Singapore to open my eyes to what it really means to be Malay. It has nothing to do with ridiculous sports events or just having to run student activities in general. There's so much more rich history and rich culture that I've kind of forgotten and kind of left behind as a result of just not being surrounded by that for so long. So I think the opportunity to go to Singapore was kind of a gift in this sense, to make me realize that the culture that I have is so unique that it's kind of fragile. And this is not to kind of be mean about Singapore or anything, because I really did enjoy my time there. It just felt like, although being Malay is, you know, although Malay is the race of the indigenous peoples of Singapore, it didn't feel like being Malay was something that was celebrated it kind of only felt like it was used for tourists to kind of know that this is the origin story of Singapore, this is kind of what we had back in the day, but it's not necessarily something that is celebrated at the moment. And, you know, if people are happy with that, then I have no right to complain about it. But it just kind of felt like, you know, I mean, I'm not Malay Singaporean, so I kind of have no right to say, like, to talk about this, honestly, too much. But being there kind of made me feel like I had to celebrate being Malay, because it wasn't really that celebrated, you know, despite the street names being in Malay, not a lot of people spoke the language. And, you know, being the minority raised, like, they're kind of marginalized. And, you know, this is just based on stats that I saw while I was working. You know, my opinion may not be completely correct or the true reality of what's going on in Singapore, but this is kind of just my momentary observation. And so, as a Malay person myself, I felt like I had to learn the language, be able to, you know, understand the nuances of the Malay culture that is seen as negatives in certain people's perspectives. So to pair this experience with my current one here in Malaysia, it has been a lot more eye-opening. I have no longer feel like I have to view being from another country as something that made me stand out, something negative about myself while I'm in Malaysia. Because I think my previous trips, I couldn't really communicate with people here in, you know, my own, where, you know, I'm supposed to be from. And so that kind of made me feel a bit disconnected to this place where, you know, I can kind of call home if I really wanted to, but I never really did, because I can't connect with the people here. And so why should I? And that was kind of the mindset that I had growing up. So yes, I think New Zealand has always been kind of home after a while. And I think a part of that decision was the fact that I cannot connect with the people here that easily. But this trip kind of changed that perspective, because after, you know, being in Singapore, where I realized I had to really connect with my culture in order to preserve how unique it is, because, you know, not a lot of people can say that I speak Malay and I'm proud to be Malay and I'm from Malaysia, and I have this unique culture. I do have a baju kurung at home, or like I can eat spicy food because it's part of my favorite cultural dishes. I know there's a lot of Malay people who can't eat spicy food, but that's just besides the point. But anyways, what I'm saying is I had a different perspective going into this trip than I did in my previous one. And on top of that, I have recently made a lot of friends who are Malay, and so I have spoken the language a lot more in the past 2 years, and so I've kind of learned a lot more. But yeah, being here with a fresh mind, a mind that is willing to learn and understand the culture a lot more, has been a lot better. So even if I look silly at this, to like not understand or not, you know, saying my words very clearly because I can't speak the language, I kind of give myself a pat on the back, because I am trying and I really want to learn and I want to use this language properly. And last time this happened, when I would mess up, I would just be so embarrassed and I'd say, oh, it's just because I'm not from here. Like, you know, that would be the excuse I'm telling myself, like, oh, I'm not from here, but like, hey, I speak English so well. You know, like, it's not my fault I can't speak Malay. And, you know, my colonized mindset just thought, it's fine, because English is more important anyways. When am I really going to use Malay besides being in Malaysia? And that's kind of not the point. I realized that is not how you preserve and acknowledge your identity. And, you know, if the Malays don't appreciate and preserve their identity, then who will preserve their Malay identity? Because no one else will. And so that is kind of what I have been thinking about recently in this trip, because I've kind of connected a lot more with, like, my family members, and I guess the Malaysian history in general. And because I only went to school here for like 3 years, I kind of missed out on like that core learning about Malay history, you know. So it has been a very eye-opening experience, like, and also kind of like emotional, in a way. I was at the National Museum the other day, and, you know, I kind of looked through all of the waves of colonization we went through, and I kind of already knew about this. I learned this in school, but after growing up and, you know, being a bit more mature, and I've also learned a lot more of New Zealand history and just the history around the colonization of indigenous cultures as a whole, is very interesting to see how that applied here in Malaysia and what tools the colonizers used to, you know, exploit resources and get a hold of Malaysia as a country. And, you know, and their tools are very, very much the same as what they did to New Zealand, and how they kind of ended up taking Malaysian land, selling it to other people, and how we end up being a base for all of these resources that ended up being exploited out of our lands, out of our countries, that we honestly still kind of see the impacts of that previous colonization to this day. Like, I'm not saying we still do, but like definitely 100% there still is. And like, we see it in our people, we see it in the way that people think of Malays or just Malaysians in general. I think it's all a result of colonization, honestly. I think if you look at younger generations in general, well, not just younger generations, just people here, in particular cities, they are more likely to speak English every day instead of using Malay. And a lot of that is kind of a result of, I guess, generational trauma of seeing English as the more superior language and Malay as more lowly and negative. And so they're more encouraged to speak English so that they don't really see Malay as that useful. And I was kind of one of these people, so I kind of understand why it seemed that way to begin with. But at the same time, once you kind of step back and take a look at things and take a look at history and everything as a whole, you kind of realize that this is such a big waste of being able to say that you're Malay, being able to say that you're unique and different from all these other people in the world, because you can speak this language, you are from this culture, you are, there's only really a handful of cultures in the world that have been able to blend this rich culture of their past with the influence of religion as well. Like, obviously there are a lot of cultures that do that, but the way that every culture does it is slightly different and very unique. And I was really interested in seeing the way that Islam was introduced to Malaysia as well, and how people back in the day integrated that into their daily lives, and how it influenced how we do things now, and how that's different from other cultures. And just the uniqueness of being Malay in general is something that I've appreciated a lot more after this trip. And yes, in the end, it doesn't have to be a big deal, and it no longer is as big of a deal as it was to me before. I think the way I approached it was very different. When I went to uni, I was very excited to be friends with Malay people because I've never really had Malay friends. The ones that I did were just very whitewashed like me. And, you know, any disappointment or, I guess, if it didn't work out, I should not really associate that with the fact that they're Malay. It's just more the fact that they're just different people and that we have different backgrounds. And that is fine. That has nothing to do with the culture or the, I guess, basically, I do not have to feel disdain towards my culture just because I can't get along with certain people. Basically, I can still really, really love and appreciate being Malay without having to befriend every Malay person that I come across. And that is something that I have just learned in this past year. So I'm kind of proud of myself for coming far, because I think this is the most appreciative that I've ever been of my culture, that, like, you know, I'm properly appreciative of being Malay, and I really love being here in Malaysia at the moment, because I don't think I've felt this way since, like, ever. So it's nice, and I've learned a lot, and in a way it's kind of like, I try to be nonchalant about things, but I can't about this one. But yeah, it kind of makes me feel a bit sad that I've never felt like this before. And so I hope that everyone who feels a disconnect to their culture finds a way to connect with it eventually, one way or another. I'm still learning, and I still want to learn about all of the cool, unique things about Malaysian history and Malaysian culture, because there's so many quirky, cool things that I never knew about, and I'm sure that other Malay people, even the ones who regularly, like, I mean the ones who live here, probably don't even know. And so I am looking forward to where this journey can take me, and I think it will make me a more confident person in general, because I can actually answer questions about myself, my identity, because yeah, before this, when people ask me about Malaysia, I would just kind of proudly say I don't know anything, which is not the way that I should have been looking at it. I should have been a bit more proactive in trying to learn, but it's okay, I am now. So yeah, that has been me for now. I hope that you've kind of appreciated this little self-discovery episode. I will get back to the usual roster after the next episode. Probably not in the next episode, because the next episode is like low-key Eid. Oh no, wait. This episode is going to come out on Eid. And then the one after that will come out sometime after that. But yeah, I'll go back to my usual self in a few weeks. So yeah, thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope that you're all well, and yeah, come back to my study space where you're always welcome. Thank you, bye.
Thanks for joining me at Sophia's Study Space. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to find other amazing podcasts at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.